subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Vicki Barker in London.
Wasting away.
American troubadour Jimmy Buffett has died, CBS's Dana Jacobson reports.
According to a message on his website, Buffett died peacefully last night, surrounded by his family, friends, music, and dogs. He was 76 years old. His cause of death has not been revealed. Buffett was forced to cancel a number of concerts, though, this summer, and acknowledged he had been hospitalized. Buffett's brand of calypso-themed escapist soft rock earned him generations of devoted fans and helped him build a business empire that made him one of America's wealthiest celebrities.
Hitting the road this Labor Day weekend, heed this advice from AAA's Morgan Dean.
Making sure that you have that warm weather emergency kit packed in your car and it's stocked with just the right stuff. You want jumper cables, you want a flashlight, you want a battery backup for your cell phone, snacks and water for you and everybody else in the vehicle. If you're traveling with a pet, you also want to make sure that you've got water and food for them as well.
Nearly 150 million Americans planning to travel this weekend, most by road. A presidential visit to Florida's hurricane zone.
President Biden and the First Lady will take a look at the Hurricane Idalia destruction and some recovery efforts in mid-afternoon. Mr. Biden will not see Florida's governor and Republican presidential hopeful Ron DeSantis. DeSantis suggests such a meeting could hinder disaster response efforts.
CBS's Tom Foti in Hawaii last night. Hundreds gathered in somber vigils across Hawaii to honor the victims of the Lahaina wildfire and mourn with families who lost so much on Maui that day. It's still not clear how many died. In Chester County, Pennsylvania, they're locking their doors and looking over their shoulders 2 days after convicted murderer Danilo Cavalcante escaped from the local jail.
Cavalcante was sentenced to life in prison without parole last week. He was convicted of first-degree murder for fatally stabbing his 33-year-old girlfriend back in April of 2021. Cavalcante is 5 feet tall, has long, dark, curly hair and brown eyes. Investigators say he is fluent in Portuguese and Spanish and speaks some English.
KYWTV's Kerry Corrado. COVID, it's coming back. How bad is it? Here's CBS's Elaine Quijano.
The dominant variants that are circulating right now in the United States are variants that are able to evade, in many times, the immunity that's conferred from previous infections and from previous vaccines. Also, a lot of folks that are in the hospital and ending up with more severe illness are the under-vaccinated or those who are unvaccinated.
Elaine Quijano reporting. And again, our top story, Jimmy Buffett has died at 76. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new study says election denialism, which fosters mistrust in the voting process, could still be a problem in Wisconsin and other battleground states in next year's elections. Mike Mohn reports.
Brian Hinkle is a researcher with the Movement Advancement Project who authored the analysis. He feels election denialism is pushing democracy to the brink of chaos.
Our report shows that 157 million voters currently live in states that are at least moderate risk of election denial, jeopardizing future elections.
Wisconsin faces a moderate threat, and it has come up in the fallout of former President Trump's team being accused of trying to overturn the 2020 vote. The authors highlighted the Badger State because of the close vote here. With Wisconsin having a divided government, enacting safeguards doesn't appear likely. But Hinkle says local administrators can do their part by being as transparent as possible to quell any distrust. And Hinkle says while the 2020 election was nearly 3 years ago, it's clear the fallout hasn't gone away.
The recent indictments charging former President Trump and others with conspiracy to overturn the results of the election, among other crimes, I think highlight both the continuing threat of election denial as well as a potential path for states to hold bad actors accountable.
The report says there are a number of ways states can shield themselves from denialism. That includes laws that protect election officials from threats and block unauthorized access to voting machines. Those suggestions come as Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature push to oust the state's nonpartisan elections director, amid lingering rhetoric tied to the 2020 vote. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Working hard is a long-standing tradition in Wisconsin. Some of the first labor unions formed here because of it. This Labor Day, join Earl Ingram as he hosts a special The Earl Ingram Show live from 8 to 11 a.m. at Labor Fest in Milwaukee.
Many people don't work on Labor Day, and so all they know is it's a day off. As a person who spent 34 years in labor and was a union man, I know the value of that.
Earl and his guests will discuss how Wisconsin's labor-related legislation became a model for other states, along with what unions look like now.
I've seen us go from that 30% union membership to now in Wisconsin, somewhere around 12%.
A union-led parade meets up with festgoers on the Summerfest grounds at 11. Labor Fest is free and open to all. Join Earl Ingram live this Labor Day, Monday, September 4th, starting at 8 a.m. from Labor Fest in Milwaukee, only here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
September 2nd, 2023. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you pre-recorded and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, right around the corner from Theodore Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage. Here in the Shaw, it's Labor Day weekend, and this Labor Day marks the end of what many are calling the summer of strikes. A report from the Cornell School of Industrial Labor Relations indicated that there were over 200 strikes involving 320,000 workers so far in 2023, compared to 116 total strikes with 27,000 workers in 2021. Now, we're not advocating strikes, and I know my guest certainly isn't, but with everything going on, the cost of everything going up and wages not keeping up with inflation, the big question is what's going on indicative of a new golden age for organized labor here in Wisconsin and in the U.S.? And here to talk about it is I'm honored to have the first woman president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO, Stephanie Bloomingdale. Stephanie, welcome. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much. And it's so good to be here with you, Dan, as we get ready for Labor Day 2023.
Fantastic. So, yeah, as we were before the broadcast began, we were joking that Stephanie, like many Americans, does not get Labor Day off. I'm sure there'll be a full day of like parades and different events that you'll be participating in.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that, you know, many of your listeners are going to want to know where to celebrate Labor Day. And they can go to our website, WisconsinAFLCIO.org, and find out, a labor festivity near you. This is Waukesha, so you can just go right down the road and participate on Monday in the Milwaukee Labor Fest. We're going to march from Zeidler Park down to the Summerfest grounds and really encouraging all of you to join us. But for many people, many people think, okay, Labor Day is a time to have a day off and have some beer and some brats. And certainly we agree with all of that. But it's also a time to celebrate the advances that labor unions have made for working people, and not just our members, but really for everyone who gets up and works for a living. And one of the things that there's a new study that just came out that says what we already really know, but that is that union workers make 18% more than their non-union counterparts. And we're more likely to have healthcare on the job. We're more likely to have a stable retirement. We're more likely to have safety on the job. And certainly by being in a union, we have workers coming together to solidify our voices to ensure we have dignity and respect on the job. So really our, you know, this day about Labor Day is so important to us. You know, allowing people to have that time off, but also to really be thinking about how we got the benefits that we enjoy today.
Terrific. Well said. Well said. And, you know, you mentioned the average union worker making 18% more in compensation than someone that's not union. And I know there are opponents that say, well, gee, that they're just bringing the cost of everything up. But what they're overlooking is that those people making 18% more have more money to circulate, recirculate back into the economy, because these things, they have certain needs. They want to save for their kids' school. They need to get their cars repaired. They may want an extra car. They may want to vacate, you know, all these things that are important to us. And that's what ultimately drives the economy, is a healthy middle class, a thriving middle and working class. Is that not correct?
Well, that's right. And that's something that we deeply, deeply value in America. And it's something that it requires us to think about it once in a while and not just take it for granted. The reason we have the kind of middle class that we have, and, you know, we need to work to expand that middle class, is because of, you know, workers coming together and saying, we don't want it all, but we want fairness. We want a fair wage. We want good health care. And we want to be able to participate fully in our communities. And the fact of the matter is that it's because of workers coming together to say, no, we don't want to only work, you know, 18 hours a day and come home with a meager meal just to get up and do it all again. We want to be able to fully participate. And it shows that in, you know, with working people in unions, we contribute in so many different ways. I mean, this whole cycle of reinvigorating the middle class is a very important point that you bring up, because you can't have a middle class if people aren't getting a good paycheck.
Right.
And I gotta be real here, but left to their own devices, CEOs would take all of the profit and leave very, very little left for working people.
Yeah, great point. And, you know, speaking of working people, most Americans, you know, will tell you, well, we know what a union is, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I was telling somebody you're going to be on the show, and they're like, what's the AFL-CIO? And before I went into, you know, American Federation of Labor and the Congress Industrial Organizations, you tell us, what is the AFL-CIO? In particular, what is the Wisconsin AFL-CIO?
Yes, thank you. So the Wisconsin AFL-CIO is a federation of labor unions throughout the state of Wisconsin, and it's unions in all different sectors, whether that be in the service industry, whether that be manufacturing unions, industrial unions, building and construction, trades unions that represent people in telecommunications or healthcare, or teachers, or the entertainment industry, or public sector, or healthcare, any of the areas that people work in, there are unions. And these unions come together to have a unified voice around the things that we agree on, to be able to advocate for better laws in our state house, in our local communities, and to help each other in times of that when we have to come together to be in solidarity with each other. Sure. And we know that, you know, just this concept of, you know, one person alone is not as powerful as a group of people together with a focused and strategic goal. And that's the same idea with the Wisconsin AFL-CIO, to bring workers together.
Sure. And like, so a good example, I think I've seen this where in recent years when a certain trade was on strike, you would also see there on the ground floor right there on site, boots on the ground from other unions showing their solidarity with their fellow brothers and sisters with that particular trade union. Is that something AFL-CIO takes a lead role in?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one thing that we learn as kids and we teach our kids is you don't cross a picket line. Hmm. And when workers are deciding to use this tool that they have, which is to withhold their labor and go on strike, it is very, very important for the rest of us in the union movement to support those workers. And that is the power that we see that we have collectively to come together. And I do want to, you know, just let you know, because this is, you know, we're going to be, your guests are going to be listening to us on Saturday morning. And I do have good news for you right now, that the Leinenkugel strike in Chippewa Falls, the men and women up there that make the specialty Leinenkugel beer in the home of Leinenkugels have settled their strike today, or have settled their strike. And they were out and they came together with management. They figured out a deal that they are all ready to move forward with.
That's fantastic. And you'd reminded me of a story from my own family's lore. My grandmother used to share with us that my grandfather was with the United Grain Elevators, and there was a strike, or a threat of a strike. And I think there was an actual strike, and there was just a lot of fear. Not that my grandfather and the other union members were, not that they weren't doing the right thing, but that there was a great fear of, like, well, where's the income going to come from? And this is back in the 1920s, so, or 30, you know, so long time ago, in different scenarios. But she remembered the great relief when the strike was finally settled, and both sides, that there was a good result. But people don't realize that it's still it's a very courageous thing to do when you're like you said, taking up signs and walking off the job.
Well, absolutely, Donnie. You bring up a really good point that this is something that's very, very serious. To go on strike is to really, it's not an easy thing to do. It's not what people want to do. It's what people, workers feel that they must do, because they are at a point in negotiations that they are at a point where they have to take action. And so we know, and we trust that the workers involved have made that right choice. And also, this is really important that these are democratic decisions within the union. And unions are a democratic organization, one of the most hands-on democratic organizations in the country.
Right.
And so we don't see, you know, we see more workers pushing the envelope for better wages and better benefits and so forth. And I just told you about the Leinenkugel strike with the Teamsters union. And then by Saturday, we also may have news on the new dairy workers with the Teamsters who are on strike. These are the men and women that make sour cream.
Yeah.
And so we will see what happens with that struggle as well.
Sure. Well, no, I appreciate you sharing that. And you use the words democratic, but you are not speaking in the partisan sense. You're speaking in the process that the union operates in. And I mention that because people still attribute unions as being left-leaning or democratic. But in the minute we have, my mother, God rest her soul, was a very conservative Republican. The posters she had on her wall were of Joe McCarthy and Ronald Reagan back in the 50s. Forget that Reagan was a raging socialist. But my mother was a teacher and was in a union. And when she took time off from teaching to raise her 10 children, there was a vicious strike in her hometown, and she refused to cross the picket line. And when we come back from the break, we'll talk more about the story and more that unions transcend party and so many other different lines to benefit workers across the country when This Week in Waukesha continues. Don't go away.
Did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Working hard is a long-standing tradition in Wisconsin. Some of the first labor unions formed here because of it. This Labor Day, join Earl Ingram as he hosts a special The Earl Ingram Show live from 8 to 11 a.m. at Labor Fest in Milwaukee. Milwaukee.
Many people don't work on Labor Day, and so all they know is it's a day off. As a person who spent 34 years in labor and was a union man, I know the value of that.
Earl and his guests will discuss how Wisconsin's labor-related legislation became a model for other states, along with what unions look like now.
I've seen us go from that 30% union membership to now in Wisconsin, somewhere around 12%.
A union-led parade meets up with festgoers on the Summerfest grounds at 11. Laborfest is free and open to all. Join Earl Ingram live this Labor Day, Monday, September 4th, starting at 8 a.m. from Laborfest in Milwaukee, only here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app. Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with highs around 89. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 64. Lots of sunshine tomorrow. High of 93. Temps well above average Monday and Tuesday, with highs from the low 90s to the mid 90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
People know that song, Warner Run, and last Friday, I missed this on the last show, Anya and I both did, was the anniversary of the release of Warner Run, and I thought a very timely song with my guest, Stephanie Bloomingdale of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO, and to finish up that conversation we had, yeah, so I was saying that my mother was a, you know, Republican who was also very pro-union. And not just for teachers, she was sympathetic to organized labor movements across many different industries. And we also forget that, you know, the great conservative icon, Ronald Reagan, cut his teeth as a union leader, as president of the, I believe it was the Screen Actors Guild. And another segment of that industry is still working out some big issues, the writers. So a lot going on. But coming back here closer to home and closer to Waukesha, where we have, there is a, contrary to popular belief, there's a big manufacturing tradition here in Waukesha and some pretty active manufacturers. But let's go back to that. Let's go to that basic question, Stephanie. What is a union?
Well, you know, a union is really a simple concept. It's a group of workers that come together to have to advocate for themselves and each other for better wages, better working conditions, dignity, better scheduling, and a voice on the job. And what the goal of those workers is really to have a partnership with management to be able to have a fair wage and have a good working environment. So a union is a group of workers that comes together to advocate for themselves. And, you know, I think it's really as simple as that. And then they, you know, workers will then join together across industries or across, geographic lines or across focused areas to maximize our power as workers.
I like that. And what would you say has been, I know we touched on it a little bit in the first segment, what would you say has been the role and impact of unions in Wisconsin communities?
Well, I mean, it's that's a really far-reaching question, but in Wisconsin, we're so proud of many of our traditions here. We are, in Wisconsin, we had the first workers' compensation law in the entire country. We had the first unemployment insurance in the entire country. We also had the first kindergarten. Many firsts come from Wisconsin, but we're the machine shop of the world, you know, here in Milwaukee and in Waukesha too. Sure. We really value making things and making things in America, and we're proud of that. We're proud of the work that we do, to manufacture goods, and we're proud of the work that we do as union tradesmen and women to build the buildings and make them safe and make them beautiful. So there's so much that union workers do, and really life is, I mean, it's kind of the slogan for the national AFL-CIO, but life is better in a union, and it really is. And we've been battling this misconception that corporate America really has been beating over the heads of people for decades. And it's been an attack that has, you know, I mean, we talked about this before. If CEOs had their way, they would take everything and we would have nothing. Yeah. So it makes sense that they would put this, try to dissuade people from coming together. But we are at a new time right now. A new study just came out that says 88% of young people support labor unions. 88%.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because in this younger generation, I guess they call them Gen Z, they're much more interested in starting out with 3 weeks vacation than they are and narrowing their work weeks to 40 hours, and not as interested in pay, but also too that they're more likely to spend their money on organizations that are more ethical, more environmentally conscious. And do you see a window of opportunity for unions to maybe get a bigger bite out of the apple of this generation to lend more support to organized labor?
Yeah, I do really think so. And, you know, overall, people value their unions. I mean, we're at the high since the 1960s, the first time since the 1960s of people really turning to unions to say, you know what, we've kind of had enough of this precariousness that's going on with our jobs. That without the job security, and young people and workers of all ages are saying, you know what, I want to turn towards, really, and a union is people turning towards each other,
right,
in a union, which is kind of a way to think about it. But yes, I think that young people are, and we got to love the young generation for this. They're like, I'm not going to put up with this anymore, and we're gonna, you know, there's a different way. We don't have to suffer in silence, and we can actually take some action on our own and build a better future for ourselves. And I'm really very impressed with the young workers who are, you know, joining our ranks and really looking forward to a very good future.
Sounds great. And in the minute we have before the next break, I wanted to mention local news that 12 Angry Men opens September 15th at Waukesha Civic Theater here. So get your tickets, or run through October 1st. I loved the movie with Henry Fonda. I'm sure you may have seen it, Stephanie, but I always thought it'd be neat to see on stage. So definitely put that on your calendars for the month of September. And a week from today being Saturday, Wauk Radio will be broadcasting its first Carroll University football game opening night, the Quick Trip Glazer Bowl, against Wisconsin Lutheran College, and that'll be at 6 p.m. on Saturday the 9th. So again, mark your calendars. Very exciting September coming up, but it all starts, really, it all kicks off with Labor Day on this coming Monday. So one final question before the break, really, we can start the conversation, is the importance of unions to the health of the middle class. Can you touch upon that, Stephanie?
Yes, because the middle class rests on good wages and people having, you know, the ability to reinvest into our economy. And the best way to do that is to have strong, healthy, and vibrant unions. And if you want to have an economic success story, well, then let's have...
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A statement on his social media sites says Jimmy Buffett has died at 76, beach bum, troubadour, and restaurant billionaire with a work ethic. Here he is talking with CBS 3 years ago.
Working seems to be the magic elixir when you are lucky enough to be an entertainer or do things that you can still do at that age.
Jimmy Buffett dead at 76. Yes, the airports and roads are full this Labor Day weekend. And yes, that scream you hear is coming from your watch.
AAA expects the roads to be packed, and there is a possibility that we'll exceed pre-pandemic levels for air travel. And we are exceeding pre-pandemic levels for spending because everything costs more right now.
Jesse Ashlock of Condé Nast Traveler. From Elijah Smoke, Hurricane Idalia was just the start of her week. Driving to work yesterday near Charleston, South Carolina, a tornado lifted her car and dropped it onto another car, and she walked away.
It was a miracle. Someone was looking over me.
How's your day going? CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barker.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Labor Day weekend is expected to bring hot weather and increasing humidity, particularly on Monday. Breezy south winds and low relative humidity over the weekend may elevate the risk of fires. By Monday, humidity levels are forecasted to rise, potentially pushing heat index values above 100. A recent jail riot where 27 inmates barricaded themselves in the library is due to long-standing poor conditions within the facility. That's the claim from a Milwaukee County board supervisor. Earlier this month, the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office reported that the inmates refused to exit the library, seeking increased exercise time. It required the intervention of a jail SWAT team to safely remove the inmates. This week, Milwaukee County prosecutors have formally charged all 27 people involved in the incident. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Working hard is a long-standing tradition in Wisconsin. Some of the first labor unions formed here because of it. This Labor Day, join Earl Ingram as he hosts a special The Earl Ingram Show live from 8 to 11 a.m. at Labor Fest in Milwaukee.
Many people don't work on Labor Day, and so all they know is it's a day off. As a person who spent 34 years in labor and was a union man, I know the value of that.
Earl and his guests will discuss how Wisconsin's labor related legislation became a model for other states, along with what unions look like now.
I've seen us go from that 30% union membership to now in Wisconsin, somewhere around 12%.
A union-led parade meets up with festgoers on the Summerfest grounds at 11. Labor Fest is free and open to all. Join Earl Ingram live this Labor Day, Monday, September 4th, starting at 8 a.m. from Labor Fest in Milwaukee, only here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This being Labor Day weekend, why not have more Bruce Springsteen? This is Factory from Darkness on the Edge of Town, and one that really, growing up in an industrial town, really tugs at the old heartstrings. And so, Stephanie had asked that we reintroduce the subject of my mother being a member of the teachers union, and I also had a sister that was, and. But my mother, my parents were Republicans and maybe even on more on the conservative side. But my mom was always very pro-union and walked the walk by refusing to cross the picket line. Well, this was 1975, so I'm showing my age here. I was only in third grade, though, but a lot of people had felt that the union organizers were from out of town and that the teachers were already getting paid well enough. And it didn't help that we had a high school football team that was 5-0 and ranked fourth in the state and had to forfeit their last three games with three future NFL players. But they approached my mother, the administration, and they were offering her, like, I think it was like $100 a day, which you can imagine in 1975 was pretty solid, you know, for a Latin teacher, too. And my mother refused to cross the picket line because many of those teachers were her friends, but they were also her, you know, her brothers and sisters in arms. And she understood how important teachers were, whereas, like, you know, many people in management, and because our town, it was fairly affluent. We had a good mix of where we lived in the village was a lot of manager and teacher types. And our school, a couple principals lived in the same neighborhood. But we also had a farming community. We had kids living, we kind of bordered the city, so a lot of factory workers' kids. So it was a good mix of people. And, you know, my father was of the belief that this is our community and the leaders of the school administration, you know, that we should be supporting them and not these outside agitators. And again, got, you know, love my dad, you know, American dream, son of immigrants, all that, but there were many people like him that felt that, oh, teaching was the best job in the world because you had your summers off and you got to work with kids. But, you know, knowing how kids can be, you know, someone like my dad wouldn't have lasted 1 week, you know, in a classroom. So it's just an interesting, you know, perspective. And one thing I also appreciate about my mother, too, is that she watched both conventions. You know, like I said, she voted typically Republican, but she would always watch the Democratic convention, too, because she felt it was important to be informed. And I always appreciate that, because I remember being in a project where my employment was cut short. I forget how many years ago this is. I remember my mom calling me and she said, don't worry, you're still young to find another job. And she's like, you know, by the way, you know, like, if you're in a union, this wouldn't have happened so abruptly. You know, I always appreciated that.
Well, your mom sounds like a real fantastic woman. And to have left you with such great memories and such great lessons that you remember so vividly. And, you know, the idea that if you are a working person, that you just do not cross a picket line ever.
Right.
And it is really not about the decision to decide whether or not those workers, you know, deserve to be out on strike or not. They made that decision.
Sure.
And that's why your mom was saying that she needed to support those workers that were out on strike. And it is so true that union membership and union affiliation and alliance and dedication transcends party lines. It's not about being a Republican. It's not about being a Democrat. It is about, first and foremost, standing up for worker rights on the job. And, you know, when your mom, you know, talked about, you know, how she needed to stand up for her fellow teachers, you know, I mean, I do agree with you. You know, anybody who spent time with kids, whether they're your own or somebody else's, this is hard work.
Yeah.
This is hard work. And we really need to celebrate these teachers who mold our young people's minds and help to teach them and to help them. And, you know, I think we just got to go an extra mile every single day to thank a teacher for what they do each and every day.
Sure. And, you know, I want to talk about all these other trades that work hard. I've got a great Teamster story, but is it okay to ask this question, Stephanie, and you're welcome to balk on it, but, you know, will there be a day when teachers, when public sector employees will be allowed to organize and collectively bargain again? Will Act 10 be repealed?
Well, we certainly want to see that. We have seen, you know, what happened in Act 10 is something that will forever, we will never forget. And we are working each and every day to restore the rights that teachers should have, that public sector workers should have, the right to bargain, the right to have a strong union. And these things that were taken away very undemocratically as well from, you know, the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, we do have an opportunity to restore those rights, and we have the ability to restore fairness to our electoral maps, regardless of which way you vote. I think that one thing that Americans can agree on, and Wisconsinites can agree on, that elections should be fair. And we have, and I always think in Wisconsin, we have a sense of fair play. And, you know, we don't want, you know, one side to win or just because they have the, you know, the trick. And it really should be about fairness. So yes, we would like to see these rights restored to our public sector workers and teachers, you know, without delay.
Sure. Yeah, you know, it is encouraging to hear, because I have a wife that's an educator, and I have a son that wants to become a teacher, and he wants to teach here in Wisconsin. And
that is fantastic, and it's great to see young people wanting to go into that.
So, but you also worry about, like, what other adults that our family knows that teach say, like, don't do it. And I think it's because of the current regime. And I know we're beating a dead horse here in the teacher, Stephanie, but I just have to ask this question, though, with the way that our school boards, you know, talk about outside agitators, have really jeopardized the quality of our education. Would unions not be a balancing act or a formidable force in, what should we say, confronting this attack on our education?
Well, I think so, because, you know, our democracy really is dependent upon people being educated. And remember that America is, you know, one of the countries that democratized education, so that if you were poor or if you were rich, you were able to get an education. And we want to see that continue. And that's what our teachers are fighting for. That's what they're, you know, that's why they're going into teaching. They believe that knowledge is power, and knowledge is important. To be able to have a discussion and look at both sides of an issue and come up with compromise and solutions and partnerships really is how life works, right? Nobody gets their own way all the time. And it's a series of being able to navigate those challenges to come together. But certainly, you know, being able to have some safeguards for teachers, of having, you know, time to prepare for lesson plans, and time to have a small enough class that they can have the time to get through to each and every one of the kids. So all these issues, and, you know, to make sure that they have you know, good health care and good wages and the kind of environment, and to have safety in their schools as well.
Great point. And then again, with AFL-CIO, you represent so many other trades in addition to teachers. And I wanted to get to this point where, there was a famous joke I'd heard about if someone had really strong arms, that meant it said he or she had arms like a Teamster. Because back in the day when the Teamsters, you know, the trucks, the way they were designed, if you hit a bump, that wheel would spin. Like, those, it's really strong. Like, a lot of old Teamsters, see, their thumbs are up in the air. Because if you got your thumb caught in that wheel, if it hit a truck, hit a rock or a bad spot, you'd lose your thumb. And so these had to be very strong people with strong forearms that were on the road truck drivers back then, before they improved the technology. And it begs the question, if the union management relationship had led to improvements in this kind of mobile working conditions, that those risks weren't as great. You know what I mean? The technology had improved, or the engineering had improved with the trucks, that the Teamsters don't have big arms anymore. But, you know, do you say they have better working conditions?
Well, I don't know if we would say that. These guys and gals are pretty strong, they're strong, and, yeah. But the thumbs, they can be, they don't have to be up in the air for the safety. But it's a really important point you're making with, that we work for safer work environments. And that's something that's very, very important to us. And, you know, there's far too many people that go to work and are injured on the job, or even worse, die on the job.
Right.
And it's and the gains that we have made have been purposeful. And the safety that we see, you know, people that work in the construction industry, that work in manufacturing, that work in healthcare, we take safety very, very seriously, because we know about the past, and we know how awful it is to have somebody injured either temporarily or permanently on the job. So, you know, those issues are really important to us. And also you know, one thing is that we also want to safeguard kids working. And I don't know if you know about this, but we have, you know, child labor should have gone without restriction. Without restriction in Charles Dickens' age.
Right.
But we are seeing this come back, and I don't know if you saw this, with only just last week, that there are some lawmakers that want to take away the requirement for children ages 14 and 15 year old to have to get a work permit in order to work. And we just firmly are against that. We think that that is a reasonable step, that a kid will get a work permit, have mom or dad sign that, because we believe parents should have a role in what's going on in their kids' lives, right?
On human trafficking, you know.
You know that. Well, there's that issue as well, and then you know, even in homes where it's not, mom and dad should know what kind of work is that kid going to be required to do, and we just think that rolling back these child protections, the child work. I mean, and make no mistake, we're the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. We are all about work.
Sure.
So we think it's valuable for kids to have a part-time job and learn work ethic.
We'll continue this discussion after the break, but we'll also want to talk about the apprenticeships and other career paths that unions create with Stephanie Bloomingdale from AFL-CIO. Don't go away. This Week in Waukesha continues.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Working hard is a long-standing tradition in Wisconsin. Some of the first labor unions formed here because of it. This Labor Day, join Earl Ingram as he hosts a special The Earl Ingram Show, live from 8 to 11 a.m. at Laborfest in Milwaukee.
Many people don't work on Labor Day, and so all they know is it's a day off. As a person who spent 34 years in labor and was a union man, I know the value of that.
Earl and his guests will
discuss how Wisconsin's labor-related legislation became a model for other states, along with what unions look like now.
I've seen us go from that 30% union membership to now in Wisconsin, somewhere around 12%.
A union-led parade meets up with festgoers on the Summerfest grounds at 11. Laborfest is free and open to all. Join Earl Ingram live this Labor Day, Monday, September 4th, starting at 8 a.m. from Laborfest in Milwaukee, only here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with a high of 89. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, 64. High temperatures reach up to 93. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. Dry with temperatures well above average Monday and Tuesday, and highs from the low 90s to the mid 90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
This week in Waukesha, on our final segment here, that is one of my favorites from Patti Smith, People Have the Power. And as Stephanie Bloomingdale of AFL-CIO will attest, that thanks to unions, people are can be more empowered. And we were finishing the last segment about fighting this movement to allow more child labor. And in addition to that fight, unions are leading the way for younger adults, people of working age, in terms of apprenticeships and career paths. Could you talk about that, Stephanie?
Absolutely. And great playlist, Don. I mean, wow, what a great playlist you have lined up there.
Well, but, have you picked the show? We'll let you pick the songs.
Okay. Thinking, we were talking about young people, and it's really important that young people are open up or have the ability to look at not only, you know, looking at one path, which is a four-year degree, but also looking at being an apprentice with some of our construction and trades unions. These are very, very good jobs that because of the unions, they have apprenticeship programs that take a young person all the way through a 4 or 5 year apprenticeship program and are paid while they learn. So they're earning while they're learning. And it is, you know, open to men and to women and to, you know, really anyone who likes to work with their hands and wants to build or make something. This is a great idea to think about, you know, working in the trades or construction industry with our unions. And really, if any parents are out there that are listening to this and thinking about what their kid's going to do for a living, really want to encourage them to think about that. And that is a partnership, because the industry, what they get out of this is really highly skilled workers who get the job done on time and get it done under budget and safely. And so the employer has can rely on the skilled trades to build the projects in a quality fashion. And also workers, because of their unions, are getting good retirement benefits and getting good wages and having good safety on the job.
Sure. And also, I know from people I know in other trade unions, there is that continuing training as well as drug testing and all these things. So unions in many ways are partners in the work process and the profitability of the employers that they're in contracts with. That's a fair statement, correct?
Yeah, and I mean this whole idea of partnership is super important, because it doesn't have to be always adversarial. And in fact, we'd rather it not. If it has to be, it has to be. But you know, we can look at, you know, labor unions and how they work in, say, Germany, which many people have German heritage here in Wisconsin.
Sure.
But they have the ability to work in concert together, labor and management, to be producing high goods and services there in partnership. And we want to be able to do that here too. And in order to rebuild our economy, we need to make more products here in the United States of America. And we want to be part of that solution by opening up opportunities into manufacturing for our young people too. Because if we want to have a stable economy and a growing economy, you know what? We need to make things here again in America and stop shipping all of our products and our jobs overseas.
Sure. I'm glad you mentioned that. In the 3 minutes we have left, how would you describe the current environment for worker organizing?
Well, right now the rules are unfortunately stacked against workers when they're coming together because of some of the laws that have gone unchecked in Congress. And so, you know, what we want to see is just really fairness for workers that want to come together and organize a union. And there is a bill, a legislation called the Protecting the Right to Organize in the U.S. Congress right now. We would like to see that passed. And really, it's a very simple legislation that allows workers who want to come together free to do that without, some companies, unfortunately, they hire very, very high-priced, shady union busters to come in and dissuade people from organizing. But really, this is short-sighted because even the managers or the owners of the companies that are doing that are disinvesting in our communities and disinvesting in America. So we'd like to see that turned around.
Yeah, you know, great point. I can't thank you enough for emphasizing that, because you'd mentioned earlier too about there is a wealth inequality and CEO pay versus worker compensation. It's like an ocean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if your listeners know this, but the average CEO to worker pay ratio is 272-1. So that means the average worker would have to work 5 lifetimes in order to earn what a CEO earns in just 1 year. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, great. Stephanie Bloomingdale, I'm really honored to have you on. We'll have to have you back on again and talk more about you and your ascent to the top position and the first woman president. I wish you all the best with all the events that you have going on this Labor Day weekend. And remember, everybody, wishing you all the best. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. And we look forward to seeing you all next week when Dan Dukniak and maybe Mayor Riley joins us to talk about Waukesha Water. Stephanie Bloomingdale, thanks again.
Thank you so much, Don, and happy Labor Day.
Thanks again, everybody. And thanks, Johnny Watermelon, for bringing you on the show. And we'll see ya.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different,
check out our website,
but you probably knew that. The problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel
that's
different, you drive different.
Everywhere.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Just don't drive.
Make miss a plan our conversations on ride. Air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.